This is Mission in Action, a podcast from St. Mary's Healthcare in Athens, Georgia, focusing on patient-centered care under our mission to be transforming healing presence within our communities. I'm Prakash Chandran. Today, we'll be talking about the Thrombectomy-Capable Stroke Center in Georgia. Strokes are attacks on the brain and are one of the leading causes of disability in our country. And if they aren't treated quickly when they occur, they can unfortunately result in death. We're going to learn all about them today with Whitney Barfield, a registered nurse at St. Mary's Healthcare and stroke coordinator for St. Mary's Hospital. Whitney, it's really great to have you here today. Thank you so much for your time. Let's just get started with the absolute basics. What exactly is a stroke?
So a stroke is any interruption in blood flow to the brain that causes permanent damage. There are two different types. The first one is hemorrhagic, which is a bleed of some kind. But the second one is the one we see more often. That's called an ischemic stroke. And that can be caused by a blood clot or plaque that has broken off from cholesterol. And that's actually about 87% of strokes.
Okay. And at a high level, you know, when you talked about the ischemic stroke being a blood clot or plaque, what causes those clots or plaques to build up in the first place?
Sometimes it's just through living. Hypertension, any kind of diabetes where your blood sugar is not controlled can cause damage within the vessels. And those can kind of get inflamed from things like smoking or from drug use, unfortunately. Methamphetamines or cocaine in particular have a tendency to cause strokes. Excessive alcohol use can also cause that damage to the vessels themselves. And as they get scarred, things build up over time. And then anything you add on top of that just makes that bigger and bigger until it gets to a point where blood flow stops.
Now, you know, we all know that treating strokes on a national level is very important, but why specifically are strokes or the focus around strokes so important to our community?
Strokes are important in the South in particular because of, unfortunately, our lifestyle. We're kind of known as the stroke belt with the excessive amount of fried foods and somewhat of a more sedentary lifestyle these days. But strokes really happen individually and to a family. It's not just the patient whose life changes in an instant. It's also their families and their caregivers. And that's one of the reasons that we take it so seriously here at St. Mary's. And myself in particular, I've had two family members that have had strokes.
Can you expand on the impact to the family a little bit?
Absolutely. So it's not just that the patient has to deal with whatever deficits they have, and they can be from things that you see, like a weakness or inability to walk or an inability to see, but also things that are harder to notice, which is emotional changes or inability to communicate or having difficulty swallowing. So someone that was fully independent yesterday, now starting today, has to have someone with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that person could have been the money coming in or could have been the primary supporter for the family. And so now the spouse or sometimes the children will have to rearrange their lives completely to make sure that this person is safe and taken care of.
Yeah, I'm glad that you went into detail on that. So there are rippling effects. You know, when someone is no longer able to function in the way that they were, it requires kind of more people, you know, changing their lives to make sure that that person is supported. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And because it's such a sudden thing, you really don't have any way to prepare for it. And so it's a trauma to the family system as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the signs of the actual stroke. I know it's something that needs to be addressed quickly, but talk a little bit about those signs and what someone should do if they think that someone is having a stroke.
So the most common signs and symptoms that you'll see, we use this mnemonic called BFAST. And this was actually developed in the UK, and we've kind of taken it into the community because it's just a great resource. The first one is B, and that is for balance or uncoordination. A lot of times you'll see people that are complaining of being extremely dizzy or not able to hold on to things. So they'll drop their coffee cup that they're trying to, or they won't be able to hold on to a pen or will have difficulty typing. Some of that is a balance kind of issue. Also with eyes, which is the E, you will see where their eyes look like they're looking to one side and almost stuck. So it's like they're staring off into the distance and they can't really focus on you. Or people will complain about not being able to see certain parts, either double vision or have blind spots. Facial droop is the F, and that's the one that most people think of when they see it, that one side of the mouth not working. And with that, you can get maybe some drooling if it's really severe. A is for arm drift. So you have them hold up both arms and then see if one of them drifts down a little bit. That's something you'll kind of notice that someone was doing something and all of a sudden one part of their body is just not wanting to work as well as it did before. And then S is for speech. It will either be slurred. Think of it almost like marbles in their mouth or how someone sounds when they're drunk, but that's actually caused by weakness of the muscles in the mouth, or they have difficulty with words. Either they don't understand the things that you're saying, or they start saying very random or fragmented words. Some of them even sound as bad as like Charlie Brown's teacher. And then the T is for time. As soon as you have even an inkling that someone is having a stroke or you're concerned that maybe you might be having one, we want you to call 911 and have an ambulance bring you to the hospital. That cannot be stated how quickly we would like you to come in, because every minute that you're having a stroke, you lose almost 2 million neurons, and that's permanent damage. So the faster you come in, the better chance you have of not being as disabled.
So that mnemonic that you mentioned was B fast. That's B for balance, mm-hmm. E for eyes, F for face, A for that arm drift, S for speech, and T for time, because time is of the essence. Now, someone that's going to be listening to this will have heard the last thing that you just said around getting help or assistance as soon as possible. If they're thinking of potentially like getting the person in the car and driving themselves, is that something that they should consider, or should they always call 911 first?
We would like you to always call 911 first. The first reason is that honestly, strokes can get very bad very quickly. We had a patient once that the family member, they just were kind of talking funny at dinner. And by the time that patient had gotten to the hospital, half of their body didn't work and they were having trouble breathing. And it happened in the amount of time it took to go from the house to the hospital. The other thing is that you are seen by a physician much more quickly with EMS, because there's a lot of things that they can do on the way. And they also call us and let us know that you're coming. So you are actually met at the door by the physician, as opposed to having to get the patient out of the car and registering them and then seeing somebody and then seeing the physician. I mean, that's no more than 5 minutes, but even that, that's almost 10 million neurons that are gone.
Yeah. Now, I was reading that St. Mary's was just designated the first thrombectomy capable stroke center in Georgia by the Joint Commission. What exactly does that mean, and why would it matter to me and my family?
That is something that we are extremely proud of. We've been working on for the past year. When you have an ischemic stroke, which that's that 87% or the vast majority of strokes, there are two big treatments that we have available to us. The first one is called TPA. It might be alteplase or tenecteplase, and that is what you've heard of as the clot-busting drug. What that can do is actually kind of dissolve the clot that's within the brain, but you have to have that within 3 to 4 hours of the onset of symptoms, so it's a very, very short time window. If you have a clot or some kind of obstruction in one of your larger arteries, we can do what's called a thrombectomy, and that is a special type of surgery where they can actually go into the brain and get the clot itself, and we can do that up to 24 hours. And by being certified as this thrombectomy capable, what it's saying is that any treatment you would need for stroke, we will do 24/7 here at this hospital and have available to you at any time.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And can you talk a little bit about some of the success rate around the thrombectomy itself?
So there are two kind of things that we measure as far as a thrombectomy being successful. The first one is getting blood flow back to the brain. That's called your revascularization rate. And ours is above what's required. We're about 85 to 90% success rate. So we're very, very proud of that. And then the second measure is what's called a modified Rankin score, which is seeing how disabled you are 90 days after your stroke, because the brain does take a decent amount of time to heal. And that really gives us what your body is going to be capable of at that 90 days. And we have had people who have been unable to walk when they left the hospital, but by 90 days out, because we were able to restore that blood flow, they're living independently. And some of them say you would never have known that they have had a stroke.
So I want to talk a little bit about prevention. What can someone that is listening do to prevent themselves from having a stroke in the first place?
So the best thing you can do, I'm sorry that it's not more glamorous, is to manage those risk factors we've heard all our life, which is hypertension or high blood pressure, controlling your diet so you don't have too much salt, too much fat. If you're a diabetic, making sure that your blood sugars are in level, watching your cholesterol, making sure that's okay. So being nice and active. 30 minutes a day of any kind of activity that you enjoy. Excessive alcohol is called neurotoxic, meaning it destroys or damages the nerve. So no excessive alcohol, and please, please do not smoke or do any kind of drugs.
So obviously the event of having a stroke, if one occurs, is very traumatic. But afterwards, I imagine that there is a recovery process. So is there support for a person and their family after they leave the hospital?
So online is the American Stroke Association, which has a phenomenal website with lots of resources. But we kind of like the personal approach here at St. Mary's. So we have two separate stroke support groups that are open to patients or their families, one here at the main hospital and one where we do our outpatient follow-up. And that just gives people an opportunity to be in a room monthly with other people that have been where they are and kind of ask questions, but also to just let them know that they're not alone. We also do follow-up phone calls about a week after they leave the hospital and at 90 days. And most of those patients and family members have my card, and they know that they can call me at any time if they have any kind of questions or problems.
Well, Whitney, this has been a fascinating and informative conversation. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with our audience before we sign off today?
The most important thing is, if you are concerned about having a stroke, not to wait. I hear all the time people who took a nap to see if it would get better or waited to call their physician. If you're concerned, please call 911 and come onto the hospital. I would rather see you a dozen times and have it be nothing than have you wait too late when we could have helped you.
Yeah, and I guess that leads me to one final question. We talked about that mnemonic Be Fast in identifying a stroke in someone else, but what about self-identification? Do you have any tips around how someone might tell if they're having a stroke and what they should do about it?
If you feel like something is not right or not working appropriately, it's better to go ahead and get it checked out.
Got it.
We've had people who came for a car accident, and the reason they were having a car accident was because they couldn't see one side of the world. So they knew something wasn't right, but they couldn't figure out what it was. But they waited several hours to come in because they just would try to explain it away.
Wow. So the main theme and takeaway from this conversation is that if you or a loved one feel like you might be having a stroke and experiencing those symptoms, or if things just feel off, the best thing to do is to call 911, because it's better to be safe than sorry. This is such a time-sensitive disease. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it, Whitney.
Thank you for having me.
That was Whitney Barfield, a registered nurse at St. Mary's Healthcare and stroke coordinator for St. Mary's Hospital. For more information, you can visit stmaryshealthcaresystem.org. If you found this podcast to be helpful, please rate and share it on your social channels, and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. This has been Mission in Action, a podcast from St. Mary's Healthcare in Athens, Georgia, focusing on how we provide patient-centered care under our mission to be a transforming healing presence within our communities. My name is Prakash Chandran. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk next time.